from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I had fun with Adam Spillane's ass. Adam ought to be ashamed.
Oh, we lost Figgy. Figgy had the impression down earlier.
Adam ought to be ashamed of himself. He really ought.
First off,
he was a little confident on they're a much 100%. Better team.
100%.
I asked him straight up, Clint.
I asked him straight up.
I say, are the Astros a better team 100%. Today than they were going into that trade deadline?
Right. Like,
oh, yeah, 100%. No question.
But, yeah, but you know he could be.
Oh, yeah. like it was a silly question.
And now he's going, and we got Ruffalo coming up at 3:40. And Ruffalo's being over the top, too.
I'm faded.
We'll hear from
right
him. But now he's going on social media. Now he's going to go through every one of Joey Loperfido's at-bats. Now he's breaking down his first at-bat that he struck out on.
Was his jaw messy?
He is a messy-ass son of a gun. I'm on the toilet.
Shout out to
the toilet in my office. And I see Adam Spillane video form. I don't know why Adam Spillane is getting video footage of Orioles Blue Jays day game today. But he got in. Here's Joey's at bat.
Better than watching another kind of Jays in the bathroom.
And I just responded. I said, Adam, what are we doing here, man? Well, come on, man. I know you on the camp in the camp of the Kikuchi is a positive thing. Hey, but then we ain't got
stay on that Kikuchi camp right there, Adam.
Always a positive thing.
Hey, Adam,
thing.
Keep doing your thing, Adam. Keep doing your thing, man.
I just said, come on, man. Now Joey got Adam Spillane on his ass for every at bat, and now he's videoing that thing. All right, the drive is live. A lot to get to today as the fellas at NRG were off today. Obviously, they are preparing and probably headed to Cleveland, as we will tomorrow. We will be out to Canton as well, to the Cleveland area, to give you the best coverage of the Hall of Fame game and the best coverage of the first Houston Texan player to go into the Hall of Fame, Andre Johnson. So we'll be there and joining the team as well. So a lot to get there as well. But, fellas, the deadline is now over. Dana Brown had some comments and things to say after the deadline. And like, to me, it's you know, yes, we talked a lot about the moves and what happened yesterday and what didn't happen yesterday and how much it cost and the price. And you know, if we can kind of get to it, I think it's now the space to move forward. And here is Dana Brown as he is moves made. Now this is where he thinks and feels comfortable about the Astros moving forward and trying to get to the postseason.
I think that the way we've been playing since June 1st, you know, we've been getting after it. And the guys have showed the grit that they needed to show. And so we wanted to make sure that we would get some reinforcements. And I think that we really added some reinforcements. And I think this team is ready to go. I think JV, if he gets back sooner rather than later, that's going to be another shot in the arm. And so would Garcia. And so I think our deadline is very strong. We feel very confident that we stabilized the rotation. We added to the back half of the pen where we had rode those guys real hard early in the season. And so we feel very confident that we did what we needed to do at this deadline.
Multiple pauses in there for Dana Brown. I'll get you to the punch, Tyler. Okay, I've just accepted that, and I just have to get out in front of Tyler on these. I didn't even look over there at him. I could hear him when he said, "We've rolled those guys pretty good, Tyler."
It gave me a giggle.
But that's where he feels. And I think he's going to say that. I think these guys are like lawyers. They have to lie. It's a part of the job. I don't believe he thinks they had a very strong deadline, but they did what they felt they had to do and made the moves that they had to make. And it's just simply this from you, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Jump in on this as well as we discuss this. Now that this deadline has passed, and you as a fan base are as unique as anybody to understand and know this, does this team feel like an ALCS-level team? Does this team fully healthy? I'll give you that caveat, fully healthy. JV comes back, like he said, maybe another boost with Garcia and the moves they've added. You've watched this team all year, and you as a fan base have had the opportunity for 7 straight years to see what an ALCS team looks like. And I don't mean this from the anything can happen or, you know, hey, let's, you know, baseball is fickle and the postseason is fickle.
7 times.
When you watch this group, now that everything has happened, does this feel like an ALCS-level team?
Absolutely.
Does it?
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about, look, the last couple of series has been, they haven't swung the bat as well, but you're talking about a six-week, two-month run where they were scoring as many points as many runs as anybody in Major League Baseball per game. You're talking about a rotation that when Verlander's back, you did say when healthy. Verlander's back, you got JV, you got Hunter Brown, you got Ronel Blanco, you got Framber Valdez, and now you got Kikuchi. Luis Garcia's back, you got the chance to go six-man rotation. Hell, you can go six-man rotation with Eric Geddy as it is now. You put Kyle Tucker smack dab in the middle of this lineup. Diaz is swinging the stick really, really, really well right now. This is a team that I feel very confident about that. Yes.
Text line coming through. Hell no, but thanks for asking. Absolutely. It doesn't, but did the Nationals a few years ago look like a World Series team that beat the Astros? Anything can happen. Yes. But that's why I said, not from the anything can happen standpoint.
I don't need to go there.
You know what I mean? Not from the, like, yo, wow. Like right now, I don't think in Seattle they see this as an ALCS type of team, the way they're up and down. I don't think they sense that. I think they got a chance, right? I think they see this as like right now, Texas. I don't think the Rangers fans probably view them that way. But do you get the sense that you've watched all season seeing this team? Do you feel that Tyler? He's in a hell yeah. Are you in the same? You're in the same boat, Tyler. I know you are as optimistic as a fan for the Astros. Do you get the feel? This feels like what you've seen before. This team is rounding into an ALCS level team.
So if you're asking me if the Astros feel or seem or look like an ALCS ready team right now, my short answer to that one would be yes. But at the same time, something you just said there, this is not like years past. This is not like the Astros we've seen for the last 7 years. You know, like a 2019 team where it was like, holy hell, who's going to stop this freight train? It doesn't feel like that at all. Very, very, very different, but capable of becoming a healthy ALCS team, yes.
Yeah, it's capable. It is. It's weird. I know I should have an answer, and I guess if I had to, I would just say from what you've watched, what we've watched, I would say this doesn't look like what we've seen the past 7 years, and especially what we've seen the past 3-4 years up close. I guess though, it's weird though, when you say it out loud, I think you kind of did it, Clint. If I'm going to tell you, hey man, you got Abreu, Presley, and Hader in the back end. And you have Alvarez, who I think is the best hitter in baseball. And I said, when healthy, you have Tucker, who was playing at an MVP level, candidate way. You have Altuve, obviously, who has a history of coming up big. And then you have Verlander, and you have Hunter Brown, who looks like he is starting to come into his own. And Framber, like you say it out loud, it feels like, yes. But when I think of the Guardians, the Orioles, and even the Yankees up to this point, it's like, boy, that it is hard to see them in that range. I think they can. I'm with Tyler. I can see it happening. But right now, even when you say those names and what they have out loud, it just doesn't seem to consistently match what's on the field. They've had that stretch, but it doesn't seem to match. Like last night, how sloppy they were yesterday. in that game with errors and things leading to the Pirates scoring runs. It's just weird. It just doesn't, I don't know if it's age or whatever. It just when you watch this team every day, it doesn't feel like they're on the level of these other teams that we've seen. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be
Look, I think there's been a handful of years in the seven where they've made the run where I think the your point you're making has been valid.
A couple of times where you've been surprised.
I think there's times in the Astros 7 years where they've made seven straight runs to an ALCS where you could look at the Yankees, or you could look at the Braves, or you could look at the Dodgers, or you know, now it's clearly never been the Mariners that you're bumping heads with like you are now, but like you could look around the league and I think on paper and a lot of times to the eye you go, hey man, they're a rung below this lineup or that lineup or this guy or that guy or this rotation and that rotation. I think there's been times when you can say, hey man, it's neck and neck, man. They're not necessarily I know a lot of the times in Vegas, they're the favorite. You start the season, they're the favorite to make a run to the World Series. But I'll argue that has as much to do with just, hell, you can't deny it now. They've been there seven times as it does. Because they're not out there signing guys and improving their roster the way that the Dodgers do, the way that the Yankees do year in, year out. I could see why Vegas looks at the Yankees or the Dodgers. Dodgers add Ohtani. Well, yeah. I mean, okay, obviously that's a major boost towards being the favorite to win a World Series or the favorite to win the National League, the NLCS, right? Or be in the NLCS. The Astros haven't typically made those kind of moves in the offseason. And so I don't know. I don't know that I've ever, I know some people have, I don't know that I've ever going into it looked at and said, boy, this roster is just flat better than what the Dodgers just put together. This lineup's flat better than the Yankees, what they just put together. But they continue to beat those guys.
I don't know. I would say for me, Tyler, especially since covering them, and you too, Clint, the COVID year where I think they were actually under 500 in them like 60 games, where they actually made it to the ALCS, and Correa had that big home run that forced it to like a game six or seven. When they were actually that team, I didn't look at and was like, yo, that's gonna be the vintage Astros team. I was a bit surprised that they were able to make a run and get to that point. But outside of that, like last year, this team, when they got in there, I was like, yep, they got the Twins to get to the ALCS. Yeah. They got the two seed. Yeah, I expect them to go through a team like the Twins. I didn't look up and think like these other teams were head and shoulders above them. This year, it just has a different feel. Kind of like I think the tester is, to be honest, they just seem to not pass the eye test right now, even when healthy. Gus, Tyler's new friend, Gus and Katie.
Look, I mean, I that's a bold statement. I appreciate Gus for keeping that energy right there, because a lot of people, when they went on that, when they hunted down the Mariners the way that they did, which, look, the Mariners had just as much to do with that as the Astros did, let's be honest. But what would you say? They're 23-10 in their last 33 games.
Before this series,
obviously changed it.
Yeah. I mean, 23-12.
Yeah, I mean, you've won 23 of the last 35 games. I mean, you're playing some really, really, really good baseball. And again, I think the sexiness of all these other teams, and I know you're talking about the fact that like the Orioles are in the mix now. We're not always talking the Dodgers and the Yankees. You're talking about some middle of the pack teams,
Orioles,
that typically
the
aren't.
Orioles, Guardians, and Yankees are kind of separating themselves in the.
Yeah, look, I agree they're not as sexy, but I don't.
The names are. It's just the ex. Like when they get in the game, it's weird.
I have no problem with it. Healthy's the key. Healthy's the key. I mean, you get Tucker back in this thing, it lengthens it out a little bit. I mean, now you get. Well, man. I mean, I've been trying to lengthen it out for 46 years, and it lengthened it. Ain't the strong point, brother.
Well said. I really think the both of you play the card. You know what?
I mean, it's all about the
curve. I'll just keep pushing this down, and then, you know, when I get a chance, oh, Maybe I'd surprise a few.
Yeah, see, you get the, well. Yeah, I mean, you can't relate, but you can't relate, but you get the
like
point.
You get it. I mean, right? There's a thought of like it's got to be up the way he crushes himself. It's got
nasty. Like, down. That was my fault.
I bet you, Megan and Lauren probably like. God, he just say. I mean, these two probably are just making everybody in Houston think that. That I'm dealing with a pinky.
Just pay, the old light switch.
Pink.
Oh man, they called Tyler light switch in college.
So, not true.
So Tyler, right now with this team, you wouldn't be surprised. Like you wouldn't be surprised at all if they got to the ALCS. You wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Clearly, Clint wouldn't.
No.
You wouldn't be surprised. I would say I'd be a little surprised.
Who do you think they got to go through this year to get there, to the ALCS?
Would look like if they were to win, if they were to come back and win this division, they are now trailing a game. They win this division, they'd be looking at right now like either a matchup with like the Twins, Royals, or Red Sox. Those would be the three teams that are kind of vying in that wild card area that they would have to face. So yeah, just the way this, what we've watched all year long. I'm not saying they're not on the level with those teams.
Yeah.
But it's just what we've
watched. Well, they haven't been all year. They have been the last 2 months, but they haven't been all year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that ugly ass start that the Astros had and all these injuries that the Astros have had that make you question and make it like, what is this team? I mean, the question you asked to start the whole segment is it. I mean,
does this feel like an ALCS?
I'm absolutely there. No, I mean, the way they hunted down the Mariners and the way that they've dealt with Tucker not being in the lineup and still being one of the most productive offenses in the game and look, we've made a big deal about this starting pitching. And right now, after watching Presley give up the lead and then big boy going there and give up the home run by Hader, you know, I mean, but those guys up to that point were on some serious runs.
They're pitching well.
I mean, they were on serious runs, really, really hey, good extended runs, like 19 outing type runs for Hader. And I can't remember how many it was for Presley. I mean, they had been really, really, really impressive. So, you give me a healthy group. And you gonna slide Luis Garcia, maybe even Kikuchi into that bullpen, and you got the four starters that we can lean into right now, with those three guys coming out of the bullpen 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I feel confident in these guys.
There could be, man. You could see it. Big bullpen starters down, timely hitting. You could see it happening. It's just, well, you know, this hasn't been a consistent thing throughout the year. That is our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up, 3:40, we'll get our guy Roflo, Robert Flores, MLB Network, get his thoughts on the Astros moving forward and what they did at the deadline. He's got some strong thoughts about you all who don't like the trade because of Joey Loperfido. So we'll get his thoughts there. But the Texans play the Bears. And who should play and who shouldn't? We'll go through that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. We see a lot of people roll through here with comments here on YouTube and Twitch, and we encourage you to go there. As we're on Sports Radio 610 on YouTube and Twitch. We have a good time. You got James. Shouted you out. Shout out to Clint Sterner. Dude was busting his ass this morning doing cardio, and now he's on radio giving us great content. Salute to you from your mailman.
I saw I passed him about four times. I appreciate you listening, James. I didn't know. He didn't look.
You never know who's watching you.
Hey, through that window that Jeep you drive, he got a B. Scott look to him.
Oh, do he?
Yeah, dredge and everything, and look real cool with that throwing up the deuces too on like B. Scott is.
Oh yeah,
I mean real cool with it.
Hit it. Shout out.
I thought he was gonna be. I ran past him so many times today, Ron, because the way
you
our
talked to him before.
No, but I see him all the time. But I thought, man, he's going. I came up on him one time. He was stopped, you know, putting some mail in one of the boxes, and it was one of them. Like I knew I was going to surprise coming up, running up next to him.
Oh yeah,
I was like, I'm gonna be careful, man, because he's
yelling out, "Hey, behind you!"
Look, if he punches the gas, he's gonna clip me, man.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah,
he's yeah, like, okay, yeah, I was getting that cardio in, man. Ooh wee!
Shout out to Curtis, my man Curtis. I saw him on the way getting the kids breakfast this morning. He walked in, grabbed the door, he said, "Listen to you every day." shout out to Curtis. My man was out there getting.
Hey, Ron, I was so dialed in this morning on this cardio, T. So dialed in. Locked in, boys. I crawled my ass in the shower with my AirPods on.
Damn.
If I'm lying, I'm sitting there. Hey, no. They must be waterproof because they were still
as
working.
As much as you sweating, I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Look, I'm sitting there and I got, I mean, I'm banging. It's Lil Wayne. I'm banging Lil Wayne. And all of a sudden that water hits me in my face.
Interesting. Wayne's playing right now.
Good call. That water hits me in the face and I close my eyes and it dawned on me like, I don't think I'm supposed to be hearing Lil Wayne in the shower with me.
Like this. You were well in there.
I was in that joint.
Why do I hear Mrs. Officer?
I was
right
in
now.
That joint. Hey, how'd you know, Chief?
Hold on. Are you serious?
Yes,
absolutely. 100%.
I'm in the Matrix. 100%.
713-572-7610. What do you think?
I love it when there's
Wayne
a glitch.
What Wayne song you think he was listening to? Man, I miss my dogs.
Hey, that water hit me in the face, and I thought, well, that ain't normal. I'm thinking, where is that music coming from? Like, I done forgot that I got my pods in. And I'm going to redo our bathroom for my bride. I'm going to have to put a couple speakers in the ceiling, but I ain't
you
done
like
it yet.
You like that shower?
Well, I liked it until I realized that Lil Wayne was in the shower with me. What the hell's going on here?
I used to shower.
And then I yanked them damn things out of my ear and
thought
I ruined
them. I used to shower with music.
Oh, I still do. I got a Bluetooth speaker.
No. I would.
You do that? Oh, man, I used to have a CD player in there.
You got to
set
the mood, man.
My man, you're screaming my name. I can't hear her ass.
Ron, I got my audio guy done put speakers in the new patio we got on each end. You know, we extended we had a pergola on, we got an L-shaped house on both legs of the L. We had a pergola, so we extended the roof line and put a true covered patio, speakers all up underneath there and everything. Chris knows what he's doing. He put them in that patio. Now I'm going to want them in the kitchen, living room, bathroom. Right, we're going to just fill the whole house up with them.
Nick,
it's going to be, it's beautiful, man. Me and the bride sat on the back patio the last two nights after them kids go to bed. Man, my mosquito system is taking care of business. My speaker's out there. And that breeze coming off that bay, Ron. Come on now. I drank a little wine last night with the bride.
You drank a little wine, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Should have bought some cheese from Specs yesterday. That's what
you know, I had that cheese that I did buy, and I left it in my bag. And, boy, when I found it this morning, man, my bag was in the car. That cheese was melted, son. Woo-wee. Luckily, it was in a plastic bag. But, yeah, little Elk Cove, man. I left Specs last night, I went over and got in that wine. If I told you how much money I spent in wine last night, I got me about 15 bottles. When I showed up at home last night.
15 bottles of wine?
Yeah, man. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired
of getting them
damn kids now, Ron, and I want to have a glass of wine with my bride, and she ain't got the good stuff.
Do you have like a wine cellar or something to store?
We got to
have a wine fridge.
We got a wine fridge where she keeps her rosés and her
Grigios. So you have something. I'm about to say, you going out banging out 15. I need to do something.
Well, we got a wine cabinet where we keep the room temp stuff. She's got a little cooler that holds about 12 bottles.
That's an endorsement I need. Somebody who can build me some sort of a wine thing.
Well, you buy it. You don't build it. You buy it. You just need somebody to build you a bar area with a wine cooler in that piece.
Endorsement. Yeah.
Yeah, you need the endorsement, not the person to build it. You need the endorsement.
Endorsement,
to build
it. And then they come out. And build it. I got you. Too. We can do this on the house.
Hey,
I've got a spotted area where we can.
I got a guy for you. I got a guy for you, but right he's now, not an endorsement.
All our liquor and wine stuff is high in the pantry.
Yeah, and y'all got plenty of square foot too. Okay. You could do some things with it now.
I would say
now,
plenty.
You probably can't wait for an endorsement. Now I don't know if anybody in the station's got a contractor that's out there.
I'm just saying, and anybody in our sales department is listening right now. I know you do.
I got a guy. You want to build you a little bar? You custom bar area over there.
Oh, I know you got a guy.
You got to come off some of that money you got over
let's
at Tightwad.
Let's wait on. I'm just saying, let's take advantage of all your.
I'm fixing to build me one now. I got the perfect spot for it, Ron. About 6 foot wide, little nook. And right now we got our wine cabinet in there that we bought and put it in there. But it's perfect setup for a bar with a little fridge up underneath, a little drink fridge up underneath it. Little rack with the wine glasses sliding in up top, all that kind of jive. Mm. Oh yeah, it's gonna be nice. I'm gonna get that done too.
Go ahead and do that. All right.
I got a money tree at the house. I gotta water that thing, get it growing. You know what I mean?
I don't have that. Tyler doesn't either. Somebody texted in earlier. Tyler, thanks for the heads up on the Hunter Brown strikeouts.
Whatever. You're welcome, friend. Through. We can end the discussion there.
I mean, that was a huge win for you yesterday, Tyler, because that was the only win, right? But I mean, you did say
like, I don't
it's
need...
the lock of the day.
You're
and
right.
Anytime,
that is the lock
you
of
put
the
them
day.
On the table now, and you say, this is my lock.
Everything else?
And I put them on up there.
Everything else?
It did not sound like that when you put them up there, though.
They had a key to everything else.
Yeah,
I don't need you to put the number on there, but... But how would you describe yesterday's performance?
My betting performance on yesterday's slate of baseball games was...
You say it's the worst?
The worst in at least 3 months. It was disastrously. Yeah, it was...
It's a bit of a bloodbath. But hey, you know, look, everybody, it happens. When you're up 3 Gs after that run of June, July baseball with the Astros, it happens, man. Yeah. I told you, this August schedule for the Astros is going to be a bitch. Now you just need to pull the reins back.
You did tell me.
No, it's not July. It's not August yet.
He doesn't do that.
It's not August yet.
He's
not
winning it back tonight, baby.
See, you hear him?
Winning it back tonight.
I think tonight's a good one. I think betting here's the bet is
I'm
that
feeling good.
Because you've had back to back bloodbaths. Let's be honest. I mean,
he's had a couple.
To think
his last 5 days, he's had a couple.
No way in hell is Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, and Bregman, all three going to be cold ass turkey for 3 straight games.
Right?
That's what I'm betting on.
That's what I was telling myself last night when I was staring at that red number.
Just take the night off.
I don't think you should. No, man. It's the last night of July, man. Hit them sunbucks hard because August is going to be woo.
Mama Judy ain't raised no quitter, man.
Do you think I could get, like, honest to God, just do you think I could get this wine deal built for what he paid, what he lost last night?
No.
So it's not that bad.
A wine chiller. Either way, those things are fairly expensive. That alone, before you ever build anything, before you ever buy a nail, is going to hit you for a good chunk of that.
I'm just trying to be real particular how much money he lost last night without saying how much money he lost last night.
I mean, I would say for what I mean, I'd say you could get a top end wine chiller for what he lost the last 2 days combined.
It felt like it ripped my nuts.
I mean, you could get and probably one that fits about 20 bottles. 24 bottles.
Just trying to get
I mean, you could get a real good one right now.
I mean,
Not look. I'm not talking about the 6 foot tall ones now. I'm talking about them. I'm talking about them shorties. Those under what do they call them? My mind just went blank. The
like a wine cooler.
The cabinet height. Drink.
I'm not a big wine guy. Drink coolers. I'm wrong guy to ask.
No, all right, coming up next.
Oh shoot.
CJ Stroud, he's out. and a few other starters are out. You'll figure this out coming up. There's some others that may be up in the air. We got to go through this. Guys like Kenyon Green, guys like Tank Dell, guys like Kamari Laster. Should they play? Should they play tomorrow? We'll go through that and discuss that for real coming up next week.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we know C.J. Stroud isn't going to play in the game coming up on tomorrow.
God bless, brother.
It's football tomorrow.
It's on top of us, boys.
I mean, that'll just be
football, blood flow. Football, Tyler.
He wasn't even there yet.
No, I'm just straight football horny, man.
Just not regular this time. Just straight football.
Usually regular. This time, football.
But thank you, Tyler. But... yeah, we know CJ and company, many of the starters, and it's been reported by Aaron Wilson that Davis Mills, Damian Pierce, and John Metchie, among others who are personnel who are slated to play a lot for the Texans in the game on Thursday. But it says CJ Stroud starters, many starters not playing against the Bears. And not a surprise, the hell the Bears have come out and said that they aren't having their starters play, including their rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams. But, Clint, I mean, when you look at this thing, there's going to have to be some guys that are going to play. And, Clint, I just flat think that there are guys that should be playing and guys that are either starters or potential to starters. So I do just want to kind of go through your thoughts on the offensive line, right? Like, listen, Tunsil's not going to play. We got that. Should Titus Howard? Would you?
No.
You don't need to see Titus Howard in this game.
Nope.
I'd imagine you don't need to see Shaq Mason in this game.
No, sir.
What about Scruggs and Kendrick and Kenyon Green?
Absolutely. I've seen a couple of bad snaps this camp from Scruggs. He's played very little center at the NFL level. I definitely think it would be in his best interest to get some live action in training camp in 2024 NFL football. The one thing that it's healthier, but boy, there is nowhere near anything remotely live action for a guy that's, whether you're quarterbacking or you're playing center, that's handling the ball every single snap. So I think with Scruggs, it is significantly important for him to get reps and get in the football and literally, truly, with a sack on the line, executing a blocking scheme.
Like so, you said, so, it's, yeah, it's a completely different set of intensity, a different...
You just can't replicate. There's just no...
Even in practice.
I mean, and DeMeco is as good as any coach in the league in terms of trying to overcome how soft camp ultimately is in 2024 and getting the best work they possibly can. I think DeMeco does that as well as anybody. I don't think he takes his foot off the gas, but there's just simply, there is a lack of contact in football, in the NFL game right now, other than on Sundays. And so, or game days in this, Thursday in this instance. Yeah, I think Juice Scruggs plays. I think he needs to play, whether you're talking about the inexperience at center in the NFL or you're talking about some of the snap issues that we've had. If they're going to throw the football as much as it looks like they're going to have to throw it, then this needs that center snap. CJ needs to catch the damn laces on his right hip or on his right pec, wherever CJ wants it, his belly button, whatever. Wherever he wants it, he needs to catch it with the laces in that particular spot, whether it's run or pass, every single snap. And so I think I think it's smart to play Juice and get him some reps. Yeah.
And clearly, to me, I'll be very disappointed if Kenyon Green doesn't play.
Agree wholeheartedly, without a doubt.
And I for many reasons. One, like, yeah, I still think there is some, hey, man, you got to keep taking these next steps. There's not a, hey, you've made it to a certain spot here. You got to keep taking these next steps. And I think those two, in real game action, probably need to play together.
Yeah.
Those two, and not to say the other guys don't, but those other guys are at least veterans. These two, I think, need to combo block, they need to do all of those things.
Absolutely, together. Ron. You're nailed on the head, man. And let me go back to Scruggs real quick. Just the communication. Yep. And I know the defenses are going to be very vanilla. You're not going to see a ton of different looks. You're going to see some different looks in what you've seen in camp, but you're going to know what you're going to see going into this thing. But the execution of the communication, Juice Scruggs is in charge of that, and the more confident he can be, the quicker more crisp he can be with that communication. Again, which he hadn't done much of at the NFL level, that needs to happen. That communication bleeds right over into what you just said with Kenyon Green. He just flat ass ain't done it. Let's talk about just playing guard. He just has not done it at the NFL level, right? And he's positioned himself to put some good film out there, hopefully, and put his best foot forward. We'll see if that happens. From a communication standpoint, right, he needs to hear the calls. He needs to be able to echo it to the tackle. He also needs to be able to, if he doesn't like the call Juice is making for some reason in a run scheme, there's some communication from guard to center, guard to tackle that needs to happen as well. So, absolutely, Kenyon Green needs to play. To me, this is one of those deals with all the guys we're talking about right now. You play week one, and if you show everybody that you check all these boxes, then we'll ease this thing off of you as we move forward. That's it. You'll play 10 snaps in preseason game three.
Real quick. Right? I think I know the answer to the rest of the offense on this Tank and Schultz. Any need for them to be in?
I don't think there's any need. No, I would not play. I would not play either one of them at this point in time.
So the only starters for you right now, obviously, like Joe Mixon's not going to play. Obviously,
correct.
Would be those two, the center and left tackle. That's or it. Left guard, excuse me.
That's it. Right. Center, left guard. Those are the only two starters that I need to see on this offense at this point in time.
Defensively, I think it's obvious. Don't need to see any Derek Stingley. Don't need to see any Will Anderson. Don't need to see any Danielle Hunter. Don't need to see any Alshire. I don't think so. Don't need to see those guys. What about Jimmy Ward? That's maybe another one. Don't need to see. What about those interior guys like Mario Edwards, Foley? Those guys are slated as starters. You think we need to see those guys? Are those veteran enough guys where you really make this Kurt Heinisch and Khalil Davis and the other guys back there?
Well, look, I think they are veteran enough guys, so if he just wants to sit veterans, that's fine. But if this is a starters, guys that have positions locked up are going to sit and everybody else, the competition continues, I think those guys have to play.
It don't feel the same way like saying, oh, Titus and Tunsil sit.
No.
Shaq
no,
Mason.
Not at all.
By the way, look, somebody said, you guys are crazy. Titus needs to play all four quarters.
Well, you done lost your damn mind. That new Kikuchi in town done got you. Look, you lost your mind. You thinking crazy?
Which end was he looking from?
Huh? I mean, ain't no way in hell, man. I mean, look, there's some work needs to be done with Titus at tackle. I wholeheartedly agree, but I mean, we've seen this guy. We've seen this guy keep one of the best defensive players in the game out of the box score. In T.J. Watt. So, there's a level of let's keep this guy healthy and let's let him play tackle this year. I'm not real worried about what he's capable of doing at the tackle position. Now, at some point, you got to get that physicality involved, and he can't wait till week one, but I don't know that Hall of Fame weekend, July the 31st or August the 1st, whenever the hell it is the time to do that with a guy like Howard.
Yeah. Defensively, I can understand Foley and Edwards. For me, it's just Lassiter and probably Jalen Petrie. Because of the positions they're playing, I could see those guys. I think those guys should get some run. I think Kamari Lassiter and Jalen Petrie kind of playing new positions, getting out there, getting them in spots, maybe in some coverage.
Absolutely.
Guys. I think those two, outside of that, man, I don't know how many other guys in terms of starters defensively should be out there playing.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think you hit those two guys right there, which I think Petrie's a starter. I don't know. I'm not leaning too much into what the depth chart said there. I think Petrie will end up being a starter, and I think Lassiter will end up being a starter. But yeah, I'm with you. Those guys need some work. I think both of those guys need to get their feet wet at the respective position. Obviously, with Lassiter, it's just simply in the league, and then with Petrie, it's at that different position. And look, I bet Petrie probably plays more than you would expect.
I'd be all right if D'Amico went over and said, "Hey man, you think you run some pass stuff in the slot, you know, like they do in some joint practices." Hey man,
oh, to the Bears.
Get some run in the slot.
You think you can put the best receiver available in the slot and let me see what he's got?
Or just let's run some here, man. Let's pound five out there in the slot. No, I do. I think because of the new positions and what it is that you want to see from those guys, I think it would make a lot of sense for those dudes to play. It'll be interesting because, Clint, I think Friday after tomorrow's game, I'm betting there are going to be some disagreements that we'll have with some of the guys that won't play. Because I'm guessing of the four that we really talked about that we think, Green, Scruggs, Petrie, and Lassiter, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them don't play. I wouldn't be surprised if you know, two or three of them don't play.
The guys we just used name?
I could see. That's why I said Friday. Ooh. I think we may be disappointed. Boy, when we come in Friday.
I tell you, man, it's going to be hard to sell. Boy, this thing's a competition if all them guys ain't playing.
Yeah, they'd be penciled in as starters.
It's hard. It's going to be hard to sell if them cats right there ain't playing. I mean, it's hard to sell Petrie at the nickel defender position on the two deep right now if he ain't in there playing.
I hear you.
And I know year to year things change, and ultimately the less competition. I've been preaching this for 2-3 years now. This fake competition stuff, I hate it. Right. I mean, it's even crazier now for being completely honest with the Texans. I mean, you've got guys got positions locked up all over the field. And they ain't competing. Hell, you can forget about creating this fake ass competition stuff. So I don't believe half the competition talk as it is, but you do have a group that preaches that very, very strongly. Hard to preach competition if a couple of guys have to play.
Yeah.
A couple of young guys have to play and all the other ones don't.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there, but I'd imagine I could see a scenario where all the starters sit. I could see that scenario. Anybody who's on the ones could sit. Coming up, Big Three, we'll get you caught up to last night's ball game and what happened. And we saw, I'd say maybe the sloppiest version of the Astros we've seen in a long time. Maybe this year we'll get caught up there as things have changed in the standings. Also, we talked a little bit about tomorrow's game. Who are you excited to see? Who are you excited to see? We've talked about some guys that may play or shouldn't play, but who are you excited to see? And some injury news, good news on one of the major pieces for the Texans. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we know C.J. Stroud isn't going to play in the game coming up on tomorrow.
God bless, brother.
Oh, it's football tomorrow.
It's on top of us, boys.
I mean, that'll
just be blood flow. Football, Tyler.
He wasn't even there yet.
No, I'm just straight football horny, man.
Just not regular this time. Just straight football.
Usually regular. This time, football.
But thank you, Tyler. But... yeah, we know CJ and company, many of the starters, and it's been reported by Aaron Wilson that Davis Mills, Damian Pierce, and John Metchie, among others who are personnel who are slated to play a lot for the Texans in the game on Thursday. But it says CJ Stroud starters, many starters not playing against the Bears. And not a surprise, the hell the Bears have come out and said that they aren't having their starters play, including their rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams. But, Clint, I mean, when you look at this thing, there's going to have to be some guys that are going to play. And, Clint, I just flat think that there are guys that should be playing and guys that are either starters or potential to starters. So I do just want to kind of go through your thoughts on the offensive line, right? Like, listen, Tunsil's not going to play. We got that. Should Titus Howard? You don't need to see Titus Howard in this game.
Nope.
I'd imagine you don't need to see Shaq Mason in this game.
No, sir.
What about Scruggs and Kenyon Green.
Absolutely. I've seen a couple of bad snaps this camp from Scruggs. He's played very little center at the NFL level. I definitely think it would be in his best interest to get some live action in training camp in 2024 NFL football. The one thing that it's healthier, but boy, there is nowhere near anything remotely live action for a guy that's, whether you're quarterbacking or you're playing center, that's handling the ball every single snap. So I think with Scruggs, it is significantly important for him to get reps and get into football and literally, truly, with a sack on the line, executing a blocking scheme.
Like it's a completely different set of intensity,
You just can't replicate.
Even in practice.
I mean, and D'Amico is as good as any coach in the league in terms of trying to overcome how soft camp ultimately is in 2024 and getting the best work they possibly can. I think D'Amico does that as well as anybody. I don't think he takes his foot off the gas, but there is a lack of contact in football, in the NFL game right now, other than on Sundays. And so, or game days in this, Thursday in this instance. I think Juice Scruggs plays. I think he needs to play, whether you're talking about the inexperience at center in the NFL or you're talking about some of the snap issues that we've had. If they're going to throw the football as much as it looks like they're going to have to throw it, then this needs that center snap. CJ needs to catch the damn laces on his right hip or on his right pec, wherever CJ wants it, his belly button, whatever. Wherever he wants it, he needs to catch it with the laces in that particular spot, whether it's run or pass, every single snap. And so I think it's smart to play Juice and get him some reps. Yeah.
And clearly, to me, I'll be very disappointed if Kenyon Green doesn't play.
Agree wholeheartedly, without a doubt.
And I for many reasons. One, I still think there is some, hey, man, you got to keep taking these next steps. There's not a, hey, you've made it to a certain spot here. You got to keep taking these next steps. And I think those two, in real game action, probably need to play together.
Yeah.
Those two, and not to say the other guys don't, but those other guys are at least veterans. These two, I think, need to combo block, need to do all of those things.
Absolutely, Ron. You nail on the head, man. And I'll go, let me go back to Scruggs real quick, just the communication. Yep. And I know the defenses are going to be very vanilla. You're not going to see a ton of different looks. You're going to see some different looks in what you've seen in camp, but you're going to know what you're going to see going into this thing. But the execution of the communication, Juice Scruggs is in charge of that, and the more confident he can be, the quicker, more crisp he can be with that communication, again, which he hadn't done much at the NFL level, that needs to happen. That communication bleeds right over into what you just said with Kenyon Green. He just flat ass ain't done it. Let's talk about just playing guard. He just has not done it at the NFL level, right? And he's positioned himself to put some good film out there, hopefully, and put his best foot forward. We'll see if that happens. From a communication standpoint, right, he needs to hear the calls. He needs to be able to echo it to the tackle. He also needs to be able to, if he doesn't like the call Juice is making for some reason in a run scheme, there's some communication from guard to center, guard to tackle that needs to happen as well. So, absolutely, Kenyon Green needs to play. To me, this is one of those deals with all the guys we're talking about right now. You play week one, and if you show everybody that you check all these boxes, then we'll ease this thing off of you as we move forward. That's it. You'll play 10 snaps in preseason game three.
Real quick. Right? I think I know the answers to the rest of the offense on this Tank and Schultz. Any need for them to be in?
I don't think there's any need. No, I would not play. I would not play either one of them at this point in time.
So the only starters for you right now, obviously, like Joe Mixon's not going to play. Obviously,
correct.
Would be those two. The center and left tackle. That's or it. Left guard, excuse me.
That's it. Right. Center, left guard. Those are the only two starters that I need to see on this offense at this point in time.
Defensively, I think it's obvious. Don't need to see any Derek Stingley. Don't need to see any Will Anderson. Don't need to see any Danielle Hunter. Don't need to see any Alshire. I don't think so. Don't need to see those guys. What about Jimmy Ward? That's maybe another one. Don't need to see. What about those interior guys like Mario Edwards, Foley? Those guys are slated as starters. You think we need to see those guys? Are those veteran enough guys where you really make this Kurt Heinisch and Khalil Davis and the other guys back there?
Well, look, I think they are veteran enough guys, so if he just wants to sit veterans, that's fine. But if this is a starters, guys that have positions locked up are going to sit and everybody else, the competition continues, I think those guys have to play.
It don't feel the same way like saying, oh, Titus and Tunzel sit.
No. Shaq Mason sit. Not at all.
By the way, somebody said, you guys are crazy. Titus needs to play all four quarters.
Well, you done lost your damn mind. That new Kikuchi in town done got you. Look, you lost your mind. You thinking crazy?
Which end was he looking from?
I mean, ain't no way in hell, man. I mean, look, there's some work needs to be done with Titus at tackle. I wholeheartedly agree, but I mean, we've seen this guy. We've seen this guy keep one of the best defensive players in the game out of the box score. In T.J. Watt. So, there's a level of let's keep this guy healthy and let's let him play tackle this year. I'm not real worried about what he's capable of doing at the tackle position. Now, at some point, you got to get that physicality involved, and he can't wait till week one. But I don't know that Hall of Fame weekend, July the 31st or August the 1st, whenever the hell it is the time to do that with a guy like Howard.
Yeah, defensively, I can understand Foley and Edwards. For me, it's just Lassiter and probably Jalen Petrie. Because of the positions they're playing, I could see those guys. I think those guys should get some run. I think Kamari Lassiter and Jalen Petrie kind of playing new positions, getting out there, getting them in spots, maybe in some coverage.
Absolutely.
Against guys. I think those two, outside of that, man, I don't know how many other guys in terms of starters defensively should be out there playing.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think you hit those two guys right there, which I think Petrie's a starter. I don't know. I'm not leaning too much into what the depth chart said there. I think Petrie will end up being a starter, and I think Lassiter will end up being a starter. But yeah, I'm with you. Those guys need some work. I think both of those guys need to get their feet wet at the respective position. Obviously, with Lassiter, it's just simply in the league, and then with Petrie, it's at that different position. Look, I bet Petrie probably plays more than you would expect.
Petrie needs
that run.
I'd be all right if D'Amico went over and said, "Hey, man, you think you could run some pass stuff in the slot?" You know, like they do in some joint practices. Hey, man,
oh, to the Bears.
You can get some run in the slot.
You think you can put the best receiver available in the slot and let me see what he's got?
Or just let's run some here, man. Let's pound five out there in the slot. No, I do. I think because of the new positions and what it is that you want to see from those guys, I think it would make a lot of sense for those dudes to play. It'll be interesting because, Clint, I think Friday after tomorrow's game, I'm betting there are going to be some disagreements that we'll have with some of the guys that won't play. Because I'm guessing of the four that we really talked about that we think, Green, Scruggs, Petrie, and Lassiter, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them don't play. I wouldn't be surprised if you know, two or three of them don't play.
I could see
that's why I said Friday. Ooh. I think we may be disappointed.
Boy,
when we come in Friday.
I tell you, man, it's going to be hard to sell. Boy, this thing's a competition if all them guys ain't playing.
Yeah, they'd be penciled in as starters.
It's hard. It's going to be hard to sell if them cats right there ain't playing. I mean, it's hard to sell Petrie at the nickel defender position on the two deep right now if he ain't in there playing.
I hear you.
And I know year to year things change, and ultimately, the less competition. I've been preaching this for 2-3 years now. This fake competition stuff, I hate it. Right? I mean, it's even crazier now. For being completely honest with the Texans, I mean, you've got guys got positions locked up all over the field, and they ain't competing. Hell, you can forget about creating this fake ass competition stuff. So I don't believe half the competition talk as it is, but. You do have a group that preaches that very, very strongly. Hard to preach competition if a couple of guys have to play.
Yeah.
A couple of young guys have to play and all the other ones don't.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there, but I'd imagine I could see a scenario where all the starters sit. I could see that scenario. Anybody who's on the ones could sit. Coming up, Big Three. We'll get you caught up to last night's ball game and what happened. And we saw, I'd say maybe the sloppiest version of the Astros we've seen in a long time. Maybe this year we'll get caught up there as things have changed in the standings. Also, we talked a little bit about tomorrow's game. Who are you excited to see? Who are you excited to see? We've talked about some guys that may play or shouldn't play, but who are you excited to see? And some injury news, good news on one of the major pieces for the Texans. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.